So today I will speak second part of this sermon. Last time I didn't have enough time to explain how we fight the fleshly nature. I'm not talking about your body, which is sanctuary. We're not speaking about the sanctuary. The God's word says that this, your body as a sanctuary, you need to love, you have to look after, you need to sleep, you need to exercise, you need to wash yourself. You can't bully it or to have anything wrong doing for your body. And one day we all come to the last day of judgment, and we will have to give account what we've done to our body. Did we look after it or not? So today, when we speak about fleshly nature, we're not speaking about the body. You would say, Wilma said, you need to punish your body, not give food or so on. So it's not about the body. We will talk today about the fleshly nature that every Christians have. I would like not to have this fleshly nature. When I first believed and God fulfilled my heart with His hope and my eyes opened, I hoped that there will be no fleshly nature, no desires, no envy. I would be holy as God. So I'm sore like an angel. No fleshly deeds, no fleshly works, nothing. And suddenly you wake up and you understand that this fleshly nature is with you. Yesterday you had such a hope and grace, and the Holy Spirit filled your heart, and you said, I will love everyone and I would do only good. And our spirit is like this. It wants to be free. And you say, yes, I would do everything. And then you meet your neighbor that lost his dog in your garden, and he messed up there. And you standing there, and all this anger comes, and all this anger raises in you up to your throat. And if you open your mouth, you understand what I'm talking about. And it happened, and you are Christian. I remember one woman said, I woke up alone at home. The husband is at work and the children at school. And I woke up and I come into my room and then I in prayer, and Holy Spirit is there and I feel so spiritual. And then everyone comes back home. They come back home. And you know, my spirituality stops here. And I found myself in a place where I don't want to found myself. What to do? We all encounter this. It's nothing new. So I will say only till the end of your life. I don't know if it's good news or bad news. Till the end of your life, this fleshly nature will stay with you together with this spirituality. And every day it will try to raise the ugly head. I will repeat till the end of your life. I wish it would be different. But the Bible says that it will be like this. So I have to stop believing illusions. And I have to learn to live in this earth. This is spiritual life, understanding that the fleshly nature will always try to confuse and interrupt till the end of the life. And all the believers say, Amen. And you are not the stranger if the neighbor's dog messed up in your garden. You just tidy up there and everything is nice. And then again, or the cat, and it messed up there with your plants that you planted in your garden, and you sow the seeds of some vegetables, and then next, and you hope that it will grow, and it's all messed up, and then this hunger comes. And the fleshly nature says it's not fair. Next time I will make a trap, the spiritual trap in the garden. So as long as we live, we have to understand that together with the spirituality, there will be fleshly nature that trying to interrupt and show up. So, to crucify the fleshly nature is our responsibility. And today we're going to look how to do it. Because if you don't not crucify your fleshly nature, you will fail. So the Bible teaches how is possible that to crucify our fleshly nature. So our fleshly nature should be on a cross, not only on a Sunday from 11 to 12 or 1 o'clock, that continuously it would stay there. This is the holiness. This is a radical life. And the God's love showed off in this. This is the process. Maybe there is a people, but I didn't meet any that learn straight away without trial and failure to crucify the fleshly nature. My fleshly nature, it's always try to get off the cross. And it's very lively. But we have a antidotum, and this way to crucify it, to deal with it, and it's in the Bible. So it's in the book of Galatians. It shows very clearly. So I choose this, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Say it loudly. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I will explain more how it looks like, but I read till the end. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. So this conflict will always happen. Don't feel strange. You are not strange. This bad thoughts is not sin. We all encounter this. We all have this weakness. We all have temptations, but we have to deal with it. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So you don't need to worry about it. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So I understand what the author wants to tell, what the God wants to tell through this author. Listen to this. If you want to fight the flesh with the flesh, you will fail. If you try to control the flesh by flesh, you will fail. So show how it looks like to fight the flesh by flesh. So one of those, yes, Lord, I will do it. If you need, I will do it. You try it. From Monday, I don't eat, I won't eat sugar. I listen, I know how it should be. From Monday, I won't eat sugar. Have you tried it? Raise up your hand. It's very popular, this healthy lifestyle now. So, and you say, I won't do this anymore. I remember when we get cross with Darius, with my husband, and he was ride somewhere, when he was saying, Vilma, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. I thought he would do it again. And he said from the depth of his heart, and I knew that he wants it. You don't want to do it. You don't want to shout or do some things. And you say, I won't do it again. And if you have a strong willpower, you cannot stop eating this sugar for like 1 month. But when 1 month finish, what happened? You eat sugar. And a lot that you need emergency even. And it's goodwill, a wish. But if you think that you are tired and you won't do it anymore. I tell you, you will do. You will do. And it will be even worse and worse. And I'll show you how it should be. The other thing of fleshly nature, the other type. Well, I'm just the fleshly, I'm just a human. And good things I desire, but I can't do it. We are just humans. So you should know before marriage that I'm shouting. What can I do now? There is no condemnation in Christ. And this is not correct example. But this scripture is correct. But in this case, God will not condemn. But this is not for you. Because this is only excuse. The fleshly nature is horrible. It's worse even than devil. If you allow the devil to use it, he won't spare you, your marriage, your children, your finances. He won't spare. He's a killer. And he's a liar and a killer. When the fleshly nature combining with the devil, it will take the territory and bring death. Life, according to the fleshly nature, it brings death. And last Sunday I said, when we were driving in the car, we ask each other with my husband, we're gonna have a 25th anniversary next year, and we ask each other, did you doubt in my trust any time? And not we didn't. And I understood that I trust in him. I trust my husband. I trust that he won't leave me, even if I'm behave horrible. And today even he said, how many times you have to forgive? But he forgive. But you know what is temptation? We could take the grace by granted. He will forgive, so I can tell whatever I want. Because he will forgive. He will be. This is not wise. It's dangerous. In this way, we destroy our families, our houses, our homes. So God is forgiving, but you don't have to take it for granted and use it. You shouldn't stay in that place because you think you are safe. It won't be okay. And I see with my eyes how the God's people allow themselves to do what the fleshly nature wants. They destroy their lives. And it's not God's will. They cry. And the God cries with them, with these broken families, broken marriages. And God's Spirit today calls God's people and church to the radical things. It's not excuses. Oh, we are just the humans. I will do it. I will say sorry. And he will forgive, and everything would be all right. I will do. I will say sorry. He will forgive and everything will be okay. It won't be okay. Every time when you allow fleshly nature to flow, the dead comes. Yes, God forgives, but we destroy, we harm when we lose our fleshly nature. And we harm God's heart. We harm the people that are next to us. They are all God's people. They are God's children. And we harm those people. When you as a parent see your kids, they harm each other. It harms your heart too. The fleshly nature, when you see it, you know that you allow it to flow. And you do something and then you feel so guilty and then you punish yourself. You feel guilty, depend of the how big is the sin. You feel guilty and it should be correct. It should look like repentance. But you say, how I could do this? God forgive me. And next day you think, how I could do this? God forgive me. Or you say to the person, forgive that I did this. And it looks like repentance, but this is not repentance. It's pride and it's a fleshly nature. You will stay in the same place because the guilt never will bring energy to fight your fleshly nature. You say, you are like this, and you will remain like this. So the correct thing is to follow the Spirit. You learn how to focus on Holy Spirit, on learning from Holy Spirit, on He shows the things, He teaches, He shows the truth. And we come to the place that we understand that in our own ability, we can't fight this. You can't fight the fleshly nature. You can enter the holiness only following God. You could shine. You have to fight not with the fleshly nature, but raise your eyes to God. Maybe many people don't understand this. We have this Christian expressions to sit at God's feet, but what does it mean? What does it mean for me to follow the Spirit in a practical? If you don't know practically how to do it, what does it mean? Then you won't follow. So first, what does it mean to follow the Spirit? You have to know what is written in the Bible. You have to know what is written in the Bible. People who say that they follow the Spirit, but they don't read the Bible, they fall into the pits. I will repeat this. If the people say that they follow the Spirit, but the Bible is not the authority for them, they come into the deceptions. There was a person was waking up every morning to meet the sun, to the rise, There is many, many examples. I don't want to talk about it, but you have to understand, without the authority of the God's word, we could get into such deceptions. And the devil could even be surprised. So the first part, read the Bible every day. If you not read the Bible, I could sit here and lie anything, and you wouldn't know that I'm lying. I could lie. I don't want to do it, but you would believe, because you have to check with the God's word. Personally, you have to analyze the things. In a Soviet Lithuania, there was no Bible. They had one gospel, maybe, or one letter, one book, and they wrote it from each other, because they knew the value. Today, we've got many Bibles, black, brown, this translation, that translation, and we can read. But if we put it aside, you are foolish. You've been foolish. You have to eat. You have to read it yourself. When I come to speak, I just will confirm what you already know. I won't read it for you. This is laziness. You can't just listen to sermons. You have to learn the Bible that for yourself to fight the fleshly nature. If it says about alcoholism or gluttony, that this is sin. So what is written there, you have to tell and agree with God. This is not God's will for you to live like this. And then you understand that you have to change your way. So first you have to understand God's word is like a mirror. Woman, did you leave your house not looking into the mirror? Man, how many of you left the house not looking at the mirror? You don't need, but if you have a longer hair, but especially women, and most of men, when you leave the house, you look at the mirror. Why? You look in the mirror. Why? To check if everything is all right. Maybe you have a spinach in your teeth or something, and you don't see, you don't feel it. Or maybe you have some marks, you have some dirt or something on your face. Once I was in a hurry to go to the wedding, and I put the dry powder and on my face, and it was even. And one sister then said, You have an even check it with God's word, and you see, oh, you have it on your face. This place, it's not God's will for me to live like this. It's not God's will to live in envy. What is envy? When you envy something, want something that is not yours. This is how you know, because the Bible teaches, you read the Bible and you see. When we stand in the... Yes, there is other way. I agree. Live in envy. Few months to England. She said, "England, leave this Bible with me." I believed that. I have to take this Bible. And I wanted her not to ask to give back this Bible. And then I took it with me. And then she wrote to me, "You can keep it with you." And I was reading the Bible, and then God was leading me through this. The God Spirit, Holy Spirit, leads you through agreement, between you and God's word. When you said, "Yes, I agree, I'm weak, I can't do it myself," but you said, "Yes, Holy Spirit, lead me." And it's all law, it's written into your heart. But you have this book, you have a Bible, don't leave it aside. Even if you read it 20 times, read it 21st time. Because God will show you and will speak to you. Second, we coming in a humble heart. When you see that you have a mark, you have a dirt on your face or nose, you have to accept, acknowledge it, and you have to forgive. And maybe you think you can't forgive, but you say, "Help, Holy Spirit, God, forgive me." This is repentance. You remember when we spoke about fleshly nature? You're always guilty. So this is no repent, no change. It's just manipulation. But in this place, you come and you said, "God, I'm guilty. Help me, Holy Spirit." And you do this by faith. And the main motive for the to fight the fleshly nature is love. The main reason. You will see how the love will show off through you. I will repeat it. I said the last Sunday, "I won't do this because then if I do, then God won't love me, or someone may see me." That's not a good reason. The good reason is for love. From love. Every time when you realize that you will lose your fleshly nature to act, you will do this not from love. When we see our fleshly nature, we acknowledge it, we humble ourselves before God, and as Apostle Paul said, "God is strong in my weakness." I'm not lying to myself, but I humble and I believe that the God Spirit will lead me through. I grew up in a family when there was a lot of noise. And I remember, I always had to tell the last word in all the queries, arguments. And with Darius, he speaks very quiet. He's very quiet, so I had to tell louder to tell my opinion and to leave there that I won. I had to win in every argument. And I was seeing how this was destroying my relationship. And I was crying to God and saying, God, forgive me, help me not to do it. And sometimes I was holding it in me, and then you control yourself, you control not saying, and then it comes up to your throats, and then it explodes. And it's like explosion. So I understood, God help me. And I started to listen what God's words, what God is saying to me. And then in all those queries, when I was feeling that this arguments comes to me, I was asking Holy Spirit what to do. And then he was saying, leave the room, leave the room. How? Not saying the last argument? If you say that you want to follow the Spirit, listen to every encouragement. Maybe you pray, God, free me from the alcoholism. And he said, okay, so leave those friends. So you say, why are you saying this? It doesn't have anything in common. Or you ask, God, free me from the internet, too much spending time on the internet. And the God says, switch off all the internet shopping. And then you won't agree with that and don't do. But when you hear God's voice, just do it. When you come to your fleshly nature, you found it and ask God. And God is saying, so do it through the small things. And in my case, God said, leave the room. And it was so hard to do it. But you do it, even if it's hard. Because fleshly nature used to show itself. And I was leaving the room, but I was still talking to myself. Then I was leaving the room and not even talking. And then I used to do it, and then fleshly nature was crucified there. But any time you can go back. And if you are freed from the alcoholism, it's not like now you can put the beer into your cupboards and be free. If you were freed, be careful and watch yourself, because the fleshly nature wants to get back. And it's easy to fall again. So when you see the fleshly nature works, you humble yourself, you acknowledge it, and you ask the Holy Spirit what he is saying. Some of the fleshly nature works has very deep roots, and the process could be long. Your journey will be yours. And your story will be different than the other stories. We all found ourselves in the same place, in the same places, but the guts, leading guts of the God Spirit could be different. So that's all. So humble, read, see. It's good to listen the sermons, to listen the pastors, that we read the Bible, we check it with our face, and we cleaning ourselves. And we're saying, lead me, Holy Spirit. So I will stop here. And I will finish. I have in my heart that very many believers are only involved in a religious circle. If I don't do this, God won't love me. But God doesn't lead us like this. God came for us to know Him and to learn to move heart to heart, to move according to His encouragement every moment when He opens. And it's a journey with God. It's a wonderful journey. It's a life with God. It's not just the rituals and things to do or not to do, you can do or you can't do. It's not only the list of the things, what you can do and cannot do. It's a journey to the freedom in us, for God to work in us and through us. When I learned to sort out the conflicts with my husband, the love came. And every time when we follow the Holy Spirit and we do what the God is encouraging us to do, we're going to see God's glory. We're going to see the goodness, what He has prepared for us. And we will see love. And the miracles, that's how the miracles happen. When you see your enemy and you want to kill him, but the God Spirit says, buy him the cup of tea and say, God bless you. And you say, God, what? And He said, you've heard, I won't repeat it. Move on. And very often this encouragement from God is what we can't believe. And you decide. But when you decide, I will go, all the God's army will walk with you. And fleshly nature will scream. How? I will buy the tea for him. But when you submit to God's Spirit leading, God's love comes, and maybe fleshly nature screams, don't do it, don't bless your enemy, he's not worthy. But when you follow the Holy Spirit, you go through it, and you will receive the God's power, the same power that raised the Christ from death. The same power will raise you up on the last day when you pass away. So the same power can lead you through this envies and any other things. We make a step and the God Spirit will lead us. So I will finish here.